Boker Tov, good morning everyone. Thank you. So we've been talking about two aspects of life. We've been talking about the outside, the chovos ha'ivarim, the things that we do, and the chovos ha'levavos, the inside, the spirit, the ruach. You could also categorize this as the difference between, you know, you give somebody a birthday card or an anniversary card or something, and you thank that person for what they do for you or who they are and what they mean. Those are not the same. So the chovos ha'ivarim are the things that we do to pursue and to promote and to further the relationship that we have with Hashem. But the chovos ha'levavos, the inside, that's who we are. That's what illuminates everything. That's the ore on the inside. So the topic that we had been discussing was the question of how do we order, how do we sequence this development? Do we start with the inside being inspired and then get to what we do? Or do we start with doing and then being inspired? Morning. Good morning, good morning. Okay, thanks. Good morning. So, the last thing we said was that we're going to start with the doing. We're going to make a list of things that we're going to do, and then by habituating ourselves to doing those things, so we're going to get us into the framework of this kind of meaningful life, and then we'll put some meaning to it. So we're going to make a commitment, we're going to light the Shabbos candles, and then over time, we're going to increase the amount of meaning in that experience. So, for example, okay. So we have a question now. Rav Olvi is going to ask us a question, and the way that he's going to ask this question is a little bit intense. And sometimes when we hear people ask us a question like this, we can interpret it in two ways. We have something called a rhetorical question. When somebody asks you a rhetorical question, what are they trying to do? Right, they're trying to either get the answer they want, or they're just trying to impress upon you something. They just want to make a point. They're not really asking a question. They're not really posing a real question. They're just making an observation that they want you to register. And then sometimes you have a question that's not rhetorical, that actually is indeed a question. So the way that this question is going to be phrased is rhetorical. And I'm not sure that he would agree with the answer that we're going to give today, but that's okay. Because I think it also is a fair question that we should ask as an honest question. So to do that, let's start right here on the top of page Tesvav, line number one. Od lanu bazet dvarim. There are more things for us to talk about now. There are more things. Ki lo ka'asher hin nirim pshutim ubrurim. Not so simple and clear things are as they seem. Hinam, they are nistarim. They are hidden and far from us, ad ma'od. Says Rav Olvi, some things that look apparent or obvious or clear, they're not so clear at all. They are nistarim, they are hidden, urechokim me'itanu, ad ma'od. What does he mean? He says, second line, mi me'itanu naga epam. Ba'avoda tzfuna? Who among us has ever, on occasion, ever, he says, reached naga epam, reached at one time, ba'avoda tzfuna? Can anybody honestly say, says Rav Olvi, that they have really reached a level of inner connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of absolute divine service? Who can say that with confidence? Hallo, Zui, his botless kol hanagios. This is, to really be sincere, it means to put away all of how do you translate the word nagios? Other influences. You know, I'll illustrate it with a point. Sometimes we make certain decisions And what informs those decisions are not necessarily our internal values, not something that we necessarily believe in, but it's informed by the surroundings that we're in. So what really is driving that decision is not, that's what I think is the right thing to do, but that's what's going to be socially acceptable. So if my friends assume that this is the right thing to do, so they're going to do it, so I should do it as well. So a lot of times when we make decisions, let's say we're standing in shul and we feel like this is not going anywhere today. I should really go home right now. But I'm not going to go home in the middle of everybody standing Shmon Esrei, so I'm just going to stand there. But it's not because I'm actually having an authentic davening experience. It's because if I leave in the middle of Shmon Esrei, everybody's going to be like, what happened? Why is it? What's going on? It's so weird, right? But there's really no reason to stand there if you're not saying anything or doing anything. Good morning, Boker Tov. So he says, to really be in Avodah Tzvunah, in the hidden service, that is an incredibly high level. He'eder, the absence of kol machsheva al bnei adam. We talked about this for those who were in this discussion last year in terms of a person having self-confidence and self-awareness, making decisions because of who we are and not because of what the people are around us and what people are going to think of us. That's a very high level. He says that's a difficult thing to accomplish. So who can say that they've ever accomplished that? It sounds like a rhetorical question. To me, it sounds like a rhetorical question. He's expecting the answer is going to be no. I'm not so sure that the answer is no, though. I wonder if actually the answer is yes. The challenge is that because we go through so many of these kinds of experiences, we get covered by the avalanche of experiences when it's not, and sometimes we lose faith in ourselves and the ability to say yes. Right? The obvious instinctive reaction is to this is, no, I'm not on that level. I could never accomplish that. And we just kind of like shrug our shoulders and move forward. But I think when we drill down, I think there is something there that we can say yes to. He goes further, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute. Heder kol machshava, third line, al bnei adam, chevra, the society, olam, the world, da'aga, concern, she'ifa, aspiration, hove, fourth line, va'asid, the present and the future, ach v'rak amitas habori levad, only and exclusively for the truthfulness of connecting to Hashem, v'gam zu, lo k'dei lahasigo, not to apprehend God, ela k'dei lahisbata lefanav. Says Rav Volbi, now in the fifth line, you see in the black print, mi choshev al zeh, umi hagia lezeh v'lu l'rega. Did anybody ever think about this? And did anybody ever achieve this? So I want to start with the second word, the higia, and then back on the first word, choshev. Mi higia lezeh. Sounds like nobody. But is that really true? Are we just selling ourselves short by saying that we never get there? Is it not true that a person has this feeling? And it, by the way, it could be in the company of other people, but nobody knows it because nobody can read your mind. That a person has a feeling that there truly is a connection to Hashem in their life and that they're in a solitary moment where they feel that there's something beyond themselves that is connecting them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their neshama? Is that not true that we don't have that experience? I would suspect that we absolutely do have that experience. In different ways, in different places. I remember this years ago. It wasn't on a recent trip, but on occasion I have the opportunity to travel to Israel for a couple of days to recruit new families for the Kollel. So I don't remember what year it was, why I was there at that particular time, and what was going on. But I still remember, it doesn't happen every time, but it happened this one time, and it stuck with me years ago, that I was showed up to the Kollel, and usually when I go to Israel, I'm only there I usually go for 2 days. You should know what's going on in my house during those 2 days. So Bekoshi, it's 2 days. It's 2 nights on the plane, 2 nights on the ground. And that's already must be So I go in the morning because I'm my whole clock is solely to Dreit anyway. So I go Kevasik and I daven early in the morning at sunrise at the Kotel. So I always go every year when I go to the same minyan, the same place. So I remember I went, it's not like a particularly emotional time. It's like 5:15 in the morning and you're like half asleep and you're just rolling out of the cab and you're kind of like, and I remember standing there one year at the Kotel and I finished davening and I was just standing there, and I just started to cry. I couldn't tell you why. There was no particularly acute precipitant for that. It was just a feeling. And I suspect many people have this feeling in different times. But it was just an unusual, like, I don't know what was happening at home or what was going on in life, was going on in the world that precipitated that particular feeling. But when you're at the Kotel, you could just let your neshama out, and that's okay. And nobody, I mean, a lot of people, we all do weird things at the Kotel, which is part of why it's such a special place, because there's no cynicism. Nobody's looking at you. Everybody's just looking at the Ribbono Shel Olam and looking at themselves in the mirror. So is that not what Rav Volbe is talking about? Does somebody not have this experience? Maybe it was at a Shabbos table once when they were looking around and thinking about their parents or their children. Did it happen once that somebody sat down to light Hanukkah candles? Hanukkah candles, and it's the season we're thinking about now. You know, they're getting ready. They're starting. I was in Jewel yesterday, Baruch Hashem. They have the whole beginning of the store. They're going to start hauling everything in. You know that means that's Rosh Chodesh already. Hanukkah is hard because everybody's busy. You know, it's not like you have Yantif, you have an Isra Malacha. But did anybody ever feel when they lit up the Hanukkah candles that it's, of course, it's totally dark outside and what's going on in the world outside and what a person has in their own home and their own connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they realize that the Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah is going back thousands of years, transcending an unbelievable. Do people not ever experience that? Maybe once upon a time somebody did. And so if we answer no to this question, if we let ourselves say, no, never higi alaseh, we never accomplished that, so then we're not going to have anything to aspire to. That's the truth. Because we say, oh, it's so beyond us. We have an expression that says, and that's why I want to focus on this word, higia, masai yagiu masai lamasai lamasai avosai. When will, what does the word lahagia mean? Arrive. Arrive. When will my actions, masa yagiu, when will my actions arrive, lamase avosai, to the actions of my forefathers? So that's, is that an open question or is that a rhetorical question? It's a rhetorical question. How could it be that I will ever accomplish the things that my grandparents accomplished? But the word lahagia doesn't just mean, lahagia means to arrive, but also it's related to the shorash of the word lagat, which means, what's that? Close, what's that?
To touch.
So there's a difference between saying, Masai yagiu masai, if my ancestors are up here, that's their masim, and I'm going to apprehend, I'm going to reach their level, versus Masai yagiu, when will my masim touch, just at the bottom, their masim. I'm not going to get at the same level, but I can touch it. The bottom of their feet, I can reach up and I can touch it. And that connects us to something, and that enables us to strive for something. Because if we say, we'll never be Magia L'Maaseh Avosai, so then why bother? Why try? The answer is we can, and we do. It just doesn't happen all the time. And so the challenge is to identify when are the times that that's happening and to connect to those times and to expand them, right? Each one of us, we need to figure out when is it that we are magia to that point, when it's avoda tzfuna. Maybe it's you go to visit somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, you go to visit them in the hospital and you're standing outside their door and nobody's looking at you and nobody's paying attention to you and it's just you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because when you're in the room with that person, so you're very self-conscious about how to speak to them and how to make them feel comfortable and how you shouldn't be weirding them out. One of It's not my favorite. My favorite all-time YouTube video is not, it's not cats talking or anything like that. There is a guy in Toronto who made the best YouTube video in the history of YouTube. It was the YouTube video on Shiva visits. If you have not seen this, it's an oldie but goodie. Great YouTube video, right? For those who have sat Shiva or ever visited somebody who's a Shiva, it's the best. The best, the best. Most hilarious. I still reference that when people, if somebody's sitting Shiva and they're going to Israel, I ask them if they could take 6 boxes of Cocoa Puffs from my cousins, you know, on occasion. But the second best YouTube video than the Shiva visit was the hospital visit one, where all you see are some yeshiva guy, 2 socks in the video. You only see 2 socks, and then the guy sitting there with his standard, it's terrific, terrifically awesome. So that's a very complicated story. It's hard to be an avodah tzvuna when you're sitting next to a giant pair of socks. But think about it. How many times is it that when we leave the room or when we stand outside, because Eitz HaTovah, usually it's not a good idea to go barreling into somebody's hospital room, at least in my experience. You probably stand outside and then you wait for the nurse to come and you say, can I come in and visit that person? So I find that that time is a very interesting time because nobody's looking at you. It's just your time with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, please, this person mamish needs a Yeshua. That is a nekuda of avoda tzvuna because there's nobody who is judging you. There's nobody who's listening to you. It's just your tefillah. That's avoda tzvuna. So we could go on and on with examples, but the point is that I think we do ourselves a disservice by not validating that point. Because we say, oh, if we're not living a totally inspired life every time and every moment, then taka, we're not inspired. We're never going to be magia maasai lamaasai avosai. So, all right, we just kind of just mail it in from there. But if we say that that's not true, higanu lizeh, we did, we were magia to that. Sometimes it's even in a far place. When a person went somewhere and did something that they should not do, that we feel afterwards we're like, ah, feh, that was, we didn't belong there. That was a big mistake. And then afterwards, when we go to sleep, and we're lying in bed and we're like, you know, taka, Ribbono Shel Olam, that was very bad. It was very bad. And I'm going to say Kriya Shema Alamita now. When I say Shema now, I'm telling you, God, I'm going to have a better day tomorrow. Is that not Higia? Is that not the level of Magia? Of course it is. Of course it is. So sometimes the Magia Dafka comes in a time and a place when a person is not, you know, it wasn't such a good day. It was a miserable day. And I screamed at this kid and I... All right, you can fill in the rest of the blanks. You don't have to get too graphic. Then you have an experience of Magia. We could reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the quiet of our bed when we're saying Shema. Before we go to sleep, we say, God Almighty, it was terrible. It was a disaster. And tomorrow is going to be better. I'm telling you, I'm going to make it better. Is that not Magia? Of course that's Magia. No one else is watching. No one else is paying attention. That's a sincere conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's one half. But the other half, the first part of the question Rav Volbe asked us was, Mi choshev al zeh? Who thinks about this? So the answer is, all of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You would be at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or Target or the library or another shear or learning or jogging. I don't know, whatever we do. We do a lot of things. The reason that we're here is for precisely this reason, that we believe that thinking about the Chovas Halavavos is very important. He says, who thinks about this? There are a lot of people who think about this. And you're among them. We're among them. That's why we chose this as a limud. That's why we're here. So to say that, no, we don't really think that it's valuable. Of course it's valuable. Do we think about it every single minute? Halavai. Halavai. But that's a very tall task. That's like a lifetime's work and then some. But to say, who thinks about being a real Jew, about really connecting with God on the pnimis level, on the inside? I would say that we all do. We just don't do it so often. And this is actually a very good time to talk about it, because when you have a yontif, so especially if we had the yontif season, that's a great opportunity. There's built-in opportunities for taking a break from the week. There's just a lot of time for shul and davening and focusing, whatever it is. But now, November, December, January, February, March, April, this year with two Adars, it's going to be a long time coming until we hit another Yantav season. So this is the time. Lachshuv, mi choshiv al ze. This is the time to set the time. That's why we get together every week. But even to think about beyond this few minutes. When are we choshiv on this? The chashiva, the thought, the mindfulness of saying that I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I can be magia to that, that I can have an avoda tzfuna, an inner spiritual experience that is filled with godliness, that's not influenced by anybody else in my family or my society or outside of me that's judging me or that's going to make an assessment of me. It's just an internal spiritual experience. Micho Shival Zeh. We do. That's what we're trying to do now.
What's the exact translation of tzfuna?
So, like the word safun, which means hidden. So tzigazin. So Rav Volbi is using this phrase that he borrows from the Chovos HaLevavos. The Chovos HaLevavos was written centuries before. It's the great Spanish Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pakuda. So the Chovos HaLevavos, it literally means the obligations of the heart, meaning the inner spiritual experience, the inner spiritual world. So he's saying, who thinks about the inner spiritual world? We do. It's interesting that today, where did I hear this? Maybe it was on the radio in one of the news outlets, that there is a whole discussion in Silicon Valley among tech people about educating their kids without so much technology. Because technology is about what you do. Is that, you heard the same thing?
That was New York Times.
New York Times. So there's because technology is about what you do. That's the avoda hagluya. But if you get hung up on the things that you do, it's easy to get distracted from the Chovos HaLevavos, from the who you are, from the what you are. So that's the avoda hatzfuna. That's the building our inner spiritual selves. Unfortunately, we know that different times in our lives and different people who we meet, they may be extremely, you know who talks about this a lot, Dr. Shia Tversky, Abraham J. Tversky. We may meet people who are extremely religious. They're very punctilious about the Chovos HaEvarim, the Avoda Gluya, the outside, the external measurables. But their Avoda Tzvuna is dead. It's dead. It is. Sometimes we go through that time when we go through just the motions. And sometimes we see other people. And we can tell they're just Jewish skeletons walking. That we're just... we're not inspired at all. We're not feeling any connection to godliness at all. So that's when the avuda tzfuna needs more work. So we've been talking about which one comes first and how do you emphasize. But I think today, at least to me, it's important to address Rav Volbe's opinion, his opinion, and say yes, we do. Ulam, last word on the second to last line in the paragraph. Ulam zui mashma'usan shel Chovos HaLevavos v'zeo hamatzav hanafshi, and that is the status of the spirit shel hamakayim osa. Now, we said that we can accomplish this, and we have. What's an indicator? How do we know if we are having a truly significant moment of Chovos HaLevavos? Of feeling that experience of avoda tzfuna. So he says, if you ever had such an experience, which we all now know we have, what's a good indicator? Go to the second line in the next paragraph. I don't have the numbers on mine. What's yours? What number are we? Starts with the word tzfuna zo. Eight, line eight. Says the following. Olam chadash miskale begirbo. A person reveals in themselves a new world. Mamash, literally, mamad chadash ba'omko shel ha'adam. A truly new depth of level of a person. A person goes for the first time on an anonymous volunteer project. Not because their friend coerced them to going, not because they had to get chesed hours, not because the shul made them go. a group of people, they all decide they're going to go for the first time for their own chesed experience. Or they just, ki yikar, it happens upon them. What does that feel like when a person really mamish gets into their neshama and helps somebody, me'omei kalev? That is an experience where the person reveals a new level of themselves. They feel that they are a deeper person. And so much so, he says, Mamad ze eino nitfas, line number 9, Ode b'tiurim miluliim. That cannot be grasped with descriptions that are in words. You can't describe what that means. If you happen on an opportunity, and you see this, I don't know if people can reflect on this in their own lives, or you've seen someone, or you've heard someone try to express what that spiritual experience was, and they struggle to find the words, because they're trying to convey to you what it meant or what it felt to help that person, and they just can't, because it doesn't lend itself to be captured in words. It's a deep, profound spiritual experience. That it cuts to the mitoch ha'avoda hatzfuna, from the inner experience that the person has. Adam omed al olam elyon. It opens up the spiritual world for that person. Years ago, I used to be a very big activist. Now I retired from activism. I'm only in the world of the Beis Medrash. I don't get out so much. But used to be... I did a lot of different things. So one of the things I once did, I have a friend who lives in Israel now. I met Aliyah, amazing, amazing person. So we decided we were going to go. We were in Israel 1 year for Yontif. We were there around Elul, Sukkot, whatever. We were single guys at the time. So we decided we were going to go, because I had gone at times with my yeshiva. We were going to go to a rehab center not far from Tel Aviv. And we were going to, we had a few dollars. So we were going to go to do a Bikur Cholim visit. Because at this particular rehab center, there were, at that time, there were some victims of terror who Nebuch were there. And if you were in a place like that, it's a long, it's very, very difficult. So we went. At that time, there were things called DVDs. You have the Tkufas, post-VHS, pre-download. So we decided we were going to go. So we went to some video store. I don't remember where we went, somewhere in Yerushalayim. And there is a well-known Israeli comedian. His name is Yatzpan. So we decided we're going to go from video store to video store. And we bought out all the Yatzpan DVDs that we could find. And then we bought Face Popcorn and Nash. And we went by ourselves to this particular rehab center where these, we knew from connections that we had that we could get in there and that there were these victims of terror. So I still remember distinctly there was one room that we visited. Nebuch, this one, she must have been 19, 20 years old, this girl, but you couldn't tell that it was a girl or whether she was 19 or 20 because she was bandaged from head to toe, lo aleinu. She had been a waitress in a cafe in Tel Aviv, and sitting next to her was her boyfriend, Mamash Moser Nefesh, like living in this rehab center on a mattress or a chair or something. Who knows how long she had been there. So we came and we talked to them and we sat with them and we dropped off the popcorn and the movies. And then we left. And we looked at each other and we just had this feeling like this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to do today. It was a deeply profound spiritual experience that left a tremendous rosham on me. And if you were to ask somebody, is delivering comedy videos with popcorn to people, that's not necessarily the most spiritual experience. But if you focus on the avoda tzfuna, on the spiritual inside of that maisa, so then it does become the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam has all of his children are all Jewish people, and that we're all connected to each other, and that we all need to feel a way, and we need to feel the to ad kama de efshar, the suffering of that other person, and we need to pay attention to them, and what it means to be part of the Jewish people, what it means to be in Israel. Like that whole experience can reach a person on a deep level of chovas halavavos. And through that, a person reaches a whole different level. Hanoseyas ha'olam hazeh kemo shehaneshama nosas es haguf. When we went home, when we went back to Yerushalayim that day, we were not carried in a shirut. We were carried by our neshamas. Because this little tiny act of chesed, which was infinitesimal, and unfortunately this woman has to struggle the whole life. You know, we Yishkoyach, big deal, two yeshiva bachrim, go for a day and visit, very nice. You spend 10 minutes there. We left after 10 minutes. She's going to have another 10 minutes and another 10 minutes and another 10 minutes. But we felt, at least for us, it was a major avoda tzvuna. We felt that our neshama had been elevated. So I think that the answer is that everyone in this room has experiences when they feel like that, when they feel like they're carried home on their neshama. It might be Lil Yom Kippur, it might be after Kol Nidre, when you walk home and you feel like your neshama is carrying you more than your guf is carrying your neshama. And so our goal, through the avoda of Chovas HaLevavos, is to nurture and support and to further those experiences so that we're not just doing the Chovas HaYivarim, but we can all say and we can all define experiences in our lives as Chovas HaLevavos. And maybe one point is to be able to answer that question probably and say, yes, we are magia to that. It's not all the time, but we know when we reach that, we know when we feel that connection, and we're just going to try to cultivate it and move it forward. Have a great week.
All right, thanks for coming.